Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Hey, good morning and welcome. So it's been 1 week since we started the daily quiet time, the best part of my day. How's that going? Has that been a good thing for those of you who've already stepped into it? Maybe you're continuing it, right? Maybe this isn't a new thing for you. It's something you've been doing for a little while. And so what we did is we started this series called The Best Part of My Day because we wanted to help each other set up and develop those daily appointments with God where we're focusing on reading the Bible, we're talking with God, and we're surrendering our life to Him. And you don't need to raise your hand necessarily, but I'm curious for you to think for a moment, and I would ask those who are joining online as well, have you ever faced moments when you have been frustrated with prayer? Like you're praying, you're trying to pray, and it's just there's this frustration that's going on in your heart and in your mind that maybe this feels less like a connection and it feels a little bit more like a chore right now. I don't know if you've ever been there. Or maybe you're kind of going, I'm struggling to keep my mind focused in this moment. Asking questions like, does God hear me when I'm talking to Him, right? Is He listening? What difference is my prayer going to make anyways? And then maybe even coming down to some basic levels, am I even doing this right? I mean, like, is there a certain code to punch in before I enter into prayer? Like, what does that, right? Up, down, left, right, A, B, A, B, start, right? Or B, A, B, A, start, excuse me. Yeah, but, you know, you wonder about all of that. Old Nintendo people, they got that, right? Others are like, what are you talking about? Like, weirdo. Listen, I've been following Jesus for a long time. Just shy, I think now, of 3 decades. And I still face moments in seasons like this, where those questions kind of come through in my life. And I feel like sometimes maybe I'm talking to a dial tone, right? It happens. It takes place. And I think we face those moments. And for some of us, we try to solve those things with some myths, right? Things that maybe just aren't true. And we go, well, the reason I'm struggling is I'm probably not spiritual enough, right? I'm not spiritual enough to be able to talk and connect with God. Or maybe God's tired of me talking about the same things over and over and over again. And so He's just bored with our conversations. There must be some secret formula to prayer that other people have figured out that I still have yet to figure out for my own life. Or maybe what I need is I need a better prayer closet, right? I need to put up the right pictures and the incense and the candles and the whatever to be able to have a place to pray. And we have all of these myths. And so, in fact, for most of us, none of that is probably the case. And what we would all benefit from is simply a little more guidance when it comes to prayer. A little more understanding of what prayer is versus what prayer is not and how God designed for us to connect with Him. And so thankfully, that's what we're going to be talking about today. So in Luke chapter 11, I'm just going to bring this up on the screen real quick. There's this moment that I think is just awesome. And it says this, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. So Jesus prayed. That's a really important truth to know and to understand. Jesus, the Son of God, prayed. So he's praying. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Here's one of the things that I love about this passage, because it puts forward this really, really clear, blatant truth that I think a lot of us miss, or we don't think of, or we just bypass. And the truth is this, prayer can be taught. Prayer can be taught. And if prayer can be taught, then the inverse is true, that prayer can be learned. That it's not some people just get it and other people don't and you have to deal with it. But if prayer can be taught, then that means prayer can be learned and it's just not something that you're given. Now, I'll be a little bit transparent with you. So one of the things I'm doing right now is I am learning to play the violin. That's something I'm going to. I'm not a violinist, but I'm trying to learn. Do we have any violinists in the room? Like, raise your hand. You're like, I can play the violin. I can do it. I saw that hand for a moment, Chris. Don't you hide over there. I see you. That's my new best friend now. Chris and I are going to be hanging out, playing violins. We're the violin gang. If you're joining online and you play violin, let me know. I would love to find out. But I'm new, and I'm a beginner. And so one of the things I've been doing is I have been watching like professional violinists play. And I don't know if you've ever done this, like either by themselves or with an orchestra, but it's powerful. It is moving. It's emotional. It is just incredible to watch these professionals. It's flowing. It's all of this. And so then I get all hyped up. I'm going to go play. And so I'm in my room and I get my violin and I am not beautiful or flowing, right? The only emotion that's coming out is probably the emotion that a cat has when it's having an appendectomy without anesthesia, right? Like that's what's happening in my room. It's pretty bad and it's frustrating. But here's what I want to tell you. I don't quit because I'm a beginner and I'm practicing and I'm learning. And I know that to go from being where I am to being where some of these professionals are, it doesn't happen because I watched one video or I tried it one time, right? That's not how it works. And so maybe some of you are feeling frustrated with prayer, right? You hear someone on the stage pray. You hear somebody in your small group pray, and you go, I wish I could pray like that, and I can't. I have good news for you. You can learn to pray. And Jesus will teach you, right? That was the heart of the question, right? Teach us to pray, and Jesus says yes. And so maybe you're feeling awkward, uncomfortable when you pray, but here's what I want to tell you. You're learning. It's okay. It's really okay. So as Pastor Matt mentioned, if you brought a Bible, open up to Luke chapter 11. If you're not there already, you can go there in your paper Bible. Luke is the third book in the New Testament, or you can go there on your device. While you're going there, my name's Fritz. I'm one of the pastors. Really glad every one of you are here today. I want to welcome everybody joining at Lighthouse Online. We're so glad you're with us wherever you're joining from. I want to welcome all of our guests who are in the house with us today. And Lighthouse family, can we take a moment and just welcome all of our guests this morning and let them know that we are so glad that you are with us today. It's going to be a good morning. We're leaning in to learn how to talk with God. So it just seems appropriate. Let's take a moment and pray before we go any further. God, we are asking you, by the power of your Spirit and through the teachings of Jesus, would you help us learn at another level to take one step in what it is to pray, to not give up, to not throw in the towel, to not be frustrated and just assume it's not for me, but actually to understand that you love spending time with us. You love when we talk with you and we listen to you. And so I pray that today would be a moment that your Spirit would lead us into a deeper understanding of who you are and how to connect with you through this great, amazing gift that we call prayer. And we ask these things in the good name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so they ask, will you teach us to pray? Jesus says yes. And so what I want to do is I want to look at, real briefly, three topics that Jesus said you and I can talk about with God when we're praying or when we're in our daily quiet time. Here's the first one, is that you can talk with God about your relationship. Okay, you can talk with God about your relationship. I would call this the prayer of connection, right? I'm just connecting with God. And so Jesus said this after one of the disciples said, will you teach us how to pray? Jesus responds and he said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. So this is how he starts. Jesus begins his prayer with Father. That's the beginning. By the way, I don't know that Jesus is saying you need to repeat this prayer as it is. I think what he's doing is he's helping us understand what his prayer looked like and to understand how to connect with God the way that he did. But Jesus says, you're going to start out Father. And what's he doing? He starts that way because he's beginning his prayer focused on relationship. This is his relationship with his Father, right? The Son is talking to the Father. Why would Jesus say, we're going to start in our prayer time, we're going to start by addressing God as Father? Because how you view God will determine how you pray. How you view God will determine how you pray. If you view God as like a cop or a judge, then you're going to pray when you break a law or you get in trouble, right? I'm in trouble, and so I need, like, you know, I need to just confess that so I'm not in bad trouble, or, you know, I've got this guilt on me. If you view God as a genie, then you'll pray when you want something. If you view God as Father, then the invitation is about a relationship. Now, I know that in our culture, in our time, there are all kinds of baggage with the term Father. I get that. And I'm not saying that's not a real thing. Here's what I'm saying. Your heavenly Father is nothing like your earthly Father. Whether he was very, very challenging and difficult to live with, or if he was one of the best human examples of fathers, you need to know your earthly Father is nothing like your heavenly Father. He is so much better. He is so much, and so don't take what you've experienced here on earth and apply it to God, because that's not who he is. I get that's a real thing, but we can't ask God to pay for things that people on earth did. But if so, the intention is, if God is my Father, then I'm going to pray because I want to be with my Father. This is a relationship. By the way, Jesus loved praying. Like, seriously, take some time and read through the Gospels. Jesus is constantly getting away, right? Larry and I were talking about this this week, and Larry's like, people are probably just wondering, where is that guy, right? Like, he's gone again. Jesus, like, look, Jesus is praying after his baptism. Jesus withdraws, and he prays in the morning. He prays in the afternoon. And one night, he spends the entire night just praying and being with the Father. He prays with people. He prays alone. He's like, he's always praying because he loved being in relationship with his Father, which begs the question, how do I get that kind of a relationship with God? Like, if Jesus has this beautiful, close, meaningful relationship with God, and it's like, okay, well, how do I get there? John chapter 1, verse 12 is really, really clear to help us understand. John wrote this under the inspiration of the Spirit. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the right, the authority, the privilege to become children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. That's how you become a child of God. Listen, every single human being is created by God, and you are created in the image of God. So whether you're a Christian or not, you are a creation of God, and God is your creator. And there is great value being made in the image of God. That is a real thing, and it matters. And it's actually one of the things that draws us to want to be in relationship with God, right? And people look in all kinds of different ways, but you were made to connect and be with God. Now, if you're not a believer, you are a creation of God, and you're made in his image, but God isn't your Father. Not yet, right? You need to understand that, because I know there's like, well, we're all God's children. Not exactly. We're all creations of God. We're all made in his image. But the way you become a daughter of God or a son of God, the way that God becomes your Father, is what John 1:12 is talking about. When you come to the place where you realize what Jesus has done for you, and you realize that you need it, and you're convinced that Jesus, right, you need him in your life, and you say yes to him, that's the moment that God is no longer only your creator, but he becomes your Father as well. And now you're a son or you're a daughter. This is the only way that God becomes your Father. You have to understand that. That's the beginning of this close relationship with God. And so Jesus says, you're going to start out your prayer, Father, focused on the relationship. And then he says, you're going to talk about his kingdom, right? You're going to talk about his holiness. Hallowed be your name. He's talking about that God is holy. And holiness is simply this, that God is different. He's unique. He's sinless, right? All of that and more is wrapped up in holiness. And what Jesus is doing, he's bringing forward the character of God, right? God, you're my Father. God, you're unique. You're holy. You're sinless. You're without flaw. Your kingdom come, which is a reminder that God is king. He's in control. He's sovereign. He's in charge. And so when you're in your daily quiet time, this is a great time to remember. Prayer is a great time to remember who God is. God is my Father, which means I am loved by him. God is holy, which means that he's calling me up, right? He's calling me away from sin and into holiness with him. And God is in control, which means I don't have to worry. because he has a plan, and he's powerful enough, and I'm a part of all of that, right? And so Jesus says we're starting our prayer focused on the character, because prayer, listen, prayer is not a negotiation. Prayer is not a time to try to manipulate God or control him. This is a moment to remember who God is and who I am in Christ. This is why Jesus says we're going to start here. It begins simply being with God. And so when you talk with God, Jesus says one of the first things you should be talking about is your relationship with him. Here's the second thing Jesus says that we can talk with God about, is we can talk with God about your needs. You can talk with God about your needs. The first one is a prayer of connection. I would call this a prayer of dependence, right? That I'm exposing and expressing my needs to God. Luke 11:3, Jesus follows up. He says, here's how else you're going to pray. Give us each day our daily bread. Right? Give us each day our daily bread. I want you to notice that. Daily. Daily. Not weekly. Not monthly. Not building up for my retirement so that I have a storehouse and I have enough to live off and I have everything I need going out, looking out in the future. It's today. Give us each day our daily bread. Now, this language, Jesus is calling back to the Old Testament, if you're familiar with this, when Israel was wandering through the wilderness, okay? So they were under slavery to Egypt, if you don't know this account. God sets them free through this miracle, and this is before they get to the Promised Land. Israel's wandering through the desert for 40 years, right? And I've never, like, been in a legitimate desert, but I've seen, like, images from, like, Google Maps, and it doesn't look very hospitable, right? Like, it's just, there's not a lot of life. There's not a lot of exciting things happening in there. And so, like, imagine having, you know, at this point, Israel's, like, 1 million people strong. You need a lot of resources to take care of 1 million people, and the desert doesn't have a lot. And so what God does is he provides this special gift called manna. Right? Anybody know what the word manna means? What is it? Yeah, that's exactly right. That's literally what manna means. It's just, they go, what is this? And so we'll just call it manna. So every time they go, hey, you're going to have some, what is it? Right? Like, and so that's what they were eating. And so every day, God would provide them with manna. Every day. If you want to learn more about this, go to Exodus chapter 16. And you can read that this week and find out more. But, so God said, listen, you're going to collect enough, what is it, for the day. And no more. Except before the Sabbath. I'm going to give you for 2 days because I don't want you to work on the Sabbath. So on Friday, you're going to collect 2 days worth of what is it. Every other day, you're going to collect 1 day's worth of what is it. Now, he said, don't save any of it. Now, those of you guys who have read this before know the account. If you're joining online, I want you to type this in the chat. What happened when people kept more manna, more what is it, than they needed for the day, and they kept it to the next day when they weren't supposed to? Does anybody remember what happened to the what is it? Yeah, spoiled. That's the nice way of saying it, right? Scripture says it stunk and it was full of maggots, right? King James Version, surely it stinketh. And so, right, and there's like maggots in there and all of that. And so the point, why is that happening? Because God was making a point. I want you to rely on me today. And then tomorrow, I want you to rely on me. And then the day after, I want you to rely on me. See, what God was doing is he was training them to learn how to trust him every single day. That was the point. And so still today, here's what I want to tell you. Now, that was thousands of years ago. Still today, God wants you to trust him every single day. Every day. It hasn't changed. It's still the same. God wants to be with you every day, and God wants to provide for you every single day. Look at this passage that Jesus, he's teaching on like prayer and facing things and all of that. And look what he says. He says, listen, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he, meaning God, will give you everything you need. A lot of people have that verse memorized and seem to forget 34, right? Let's do this. Let's actually read verse 34 out loud together, starting with so don't. Are you ready? Go. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen, right? Like, amen. Today is enough. Some of you haven't even dealt with today's stuff. You're already dealing with tomorrow's, right? And Jesus is like, Don't worry about that. Why? Because you don't even know that you're going to have it tomorrow. Right? You're not guaranteed it. And so, listen, all you really have is right now. What are you going to do, right? And so he says, listen, you're going to trust God every single day, right? Today. And when you read the Bible, you see accounts and you see people praying all the time. And so, you know, one of the things I did over the last 2 weeks is I think I read somewhere north of about 215 Bible passages over the last 2 weeks just on prayer. I wanted to read everything I could on what people prayed for and how God talked about prayer and all of this. And here's just a quick survey of some of the different types of things that people asked God for in prayer. So some people asked for healing when they prayed. Other people asked for children or blessing of children. Some people asked God to change the situations that they were in. Some people prayed and asked for wisdom. Others prayed for protection. Some were asking to understand and know God's will. Others were asking for strength. And some people are just asking for help. God, I just need you. I need you to show up in this moment. And that's just like kind of general categories, and it breaks down even further beyond that. And the reason I bring that forward is you just see people all throughout the Bible, they're just relying on God. They're just, hey, I have this need, and I'm asking you to meet it, okay? By the way, the greatest need that every single person has above money and clothing and food and your career and your relationships and all of that, the greatest need that every person has is receiving God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. That is the greatest need that anybody has. And here's why I tell you that. That you can ask for God to meet needs in your life, but you can also ask God to save people who you know are walking far from Jesus Christ. This is one of the prayers that Paul actually prayed in Acts 26. Right? He's actually sharing the gospel with somebody, and he goes, listen, I'm praying that God will save you and that everybody who hears me will become a Christian, just like I am, except for these chains that I'm living in right now. And so you can pray for people you know to come to faith. By the way, this is one of the things that this church is so focused on. This is a strength of Lighthouse Community, both in the house and online. It's amazing. The number of people who you're praying for, like, your friends, you're praying for your children to come to faith. You're praying for your parents to come to faith. You're praying for siblings to come to faith. And I'll tell you, every week when I pray for you, when our team prays for you and goes through that, one of the things that just I love to pray for you about is the people that you're hoping God is going to do a transforming work. I think that's one of the reasons why just last calendar year alone, and these are just the ones we know of. We know of at least 70 people who said yes to Jesus right here in this church family over the last year. Two of them were last Sunday, right? Like, that's awesome. I think that's a big part because this church is constantly praying for people to come to faith around here. And so you can ask God to meet needs. Now, here's the thing. You have to understand this. When it comes to what we're asking God for, or we're talking about our needs with him, you need to know that God answers every single prayer. He does. Some of you guys who grew up in the 90s and beforehand, you know there was a really well-known song by a guy named Garth Brooks back in the day, right? Something about unanswered prayers. He's glad he didn't marry his girlfriend from high school. That tells you some things, okay? But anyways, right, there's a song out there called Unanswered Prayers. That is the worst biblically theological song in the world. There are no unanswered prayers. God never fails to answer a prayer. Because sometimes God says yes, and sometimes God says no. And sometimes God says wait. There are no prayers that you and I pray that go unanswered. It's either yes, no, or wait. And so you can trust him in that. So here's my question. What's one thing that you're worried about in your life? Like you're thinking about it. And for the next 24 hours, you're worried about it. You're focused on this. Is there like a tough conversation you're thinking about you need to have? Is there this unexpected bill that just showed up and you're not ready for it at all? Is there this career decision where you're like having multiple decisions to make in this choice? Like, is there a project for school, right? For some of you, classes have just started right back up. Or maybe you're coming to the end of your career in university. Like, what are you worrying about right now? You know what the Bible tells us Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Let's read this out loud together, starting with don't worry. Are you ready? Go. Don't worry about, instead, pray about, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Here's what that verse is saying. Whatever you're worried about, turn it into a prayer. Whatever's consuming your mind, your heart, that's got you anxious, just talk with God about it and thank him for what he's already done. Right? That's the secret, right? This is the secret, and it's incredible. And so Jesus said one of the things that you and I can talk with God about is our needs. Here's the last one, is you can talk with God about your failures. You can talk about your with God. Excuse me, you can talk with God about your failures. So we have the prayer of connection, we have the prayer of dependence, now we have the prayer of confession. And so we're just talking to God about our failures. Here's what Jesus said, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. And so Jesus prays, hey, we can forgive, God can forgive us of our sins. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this isn't about you getting saved again and again and again, right? And so if you genuinely said yes to Jesus, he's transformed your life, the Spirit of God is living inside of you, you are in God's family. You are a son, you are a daughter, okay? That is locked in because you belong to God. If you've said yes to Jesus, you've been saved already from the penalty of sin. You never have to worry about being separated from God for all of eternity in hell, right? That is done. That is dealt with. You have forgiveness. You have new life. You're walking with him as a gift of grace. But Christians still choose to disobey God from time to time, don't we? We choose self-centeredness. We choose to hurt one another. We fail to rely. Why? Because we are all former slaves learning how to live free. We were all under the same slavery to sin and death. God set us free, and now we are learning what freedom looks like. And it takes time. And sometimes when you get scared, sometimes when you get nervous, sometimes when you get anxious, you fall back to old patterns that make sense to you in that time. And so, right, we're learning, we're discovering. You don't stop being God's son or daughter because you made a mistake. You don't stop being a part of the family because you sinned. And so what Jesus is saying, we confess, we ask for forgiveness because we're saying, I don't want anything between you and me in our relationship, right? Here's an example. So Christina and I, we have 5 kids. And I know this is going to shock some of you. Sometimes our kids do things we don't want them to do. The pastor's kids? Yes. Right? Yeah, it happens. They're not that different from yours. I've seen yours. All right, okay, listen. Listen, I'm just kidding. So sometimes they do. And so what that does is that causes some tension and conflict with us, and one of the quickest ways to dissolve that is to just say, I'm sorry. They don't stop being my son. They don't stop being my daughter, but we do have to work through that, right? It's very, very similar, right? I don't stop being God's son because I chose self-centeredness or I chose selfishness. But there are some things to work through. And so Jesus is like, we can ask for forgiveness. And that's where confession and repentance comes in. So when you're saved immediately from the penalty of sin. And as you're walking with God, confession and repentance is one of the ways that God is freeing you from the power of sin. Today. You're already freed from the penalty. You don't have to be afraid of that anymore. You're now being set free from the power of sin day by day, that it no longer has the hold on your life that it did before. Every day we're finding more and more freedom, right? That's where confession and repentance comes in, which is what I love. Listen, look at this passage from 1 John chapter 1. It says this, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. That's who God is. This is his character, that if I confess, he forgives, he cleanses, he brings me into newness again. But look at verse 10. This is actually a warning. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. When I pretend like I'm not doing anything wrong, this starts to show up in my life. It begins to be a warning sign that I think I don't need God, that I can do this on my own. Your daily quiet time, your every time you're talking with God, is a time to remember that the forgiveness that you enjoy comes through Christ and not you. Every time you pray, every time you talk with God about your failures, your sins, your temptations, you're remembering, I'm not here because of me. I'm here because of Jesus. Right? And then he goes on to say this, forgive us our sins as we also forgive others. This may be one of the key litmus tests for genuine faith. That those, here's a simple way to put it, forgiven people forgive people. Right? This becomes a litmus test, that the forgiveness I enjoy, I now give away. Now, for some of us, we don't fully understand what forgiveness is. Let me give you a very quick crash course on forgiveness. Here's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is absorbing the cost and never asking for payment again. That's what forgiveness is. If I loan you $1,000 and you're like, I'm going to pay you back, and then you never pay me back and you come up with every excuse, for me to forgive you, what I have to do is absorb the $1,000 cost and then never ask you for payment again. That's forgiveness. That's what Jesus did. Jesus absorbed the cost of every one of your sins, every one of my sins, all of them, and he doesn't ask you to repay it. He simply asks you to put your faith in him. In his work. And so forgiveness is absorbing the cost and not requiring payment. That's what forgiveness is. What we tend to do is we confuse forgiveness with trust. You can forgive somebody and know that you still have to build trust from that point forward. Right? There have been people who have hurt me deeply. And I had to talk with God and work through this, and I had to give them away, I had to give forgiveness away to them as a gift. And then it's up to them, whatever they're going to do with it. But I choose to forgive them. But here's what I'm going to tell you. We're not going on vacation together anytime soon. Why? Because I don't trust you. I can forgive you, and we can work on rebuilding trust to getting back to that place. Don't confuse forgiveness with trust. Those are two different things, right? And so we give away for forgiveness. Why? Because we've been given forgiveness so freely. So here's my question. Who are you withholding forgiveness from? Who have you planted a flag to say they're not worthy of it, they don't deserve it, they're not asking, I'm not giving it, they hurt me too bad, I will always require a payment from them. That's like drinking poison and hoping it's going to affect them. Unforgiveness is a jail cell that you live in, not them. Right? Who are you withholding forgiveness from? And then Jesus says you can pray for the future. Right? Lead us not into temptation, right? This is a prayer for the future. It's preparing me for temptation. By the way, everyone is tempted by sin. Even Jesus was tempted by sin, but he didn't give in. That's the difference between Jesus and us. He's tempted in every way that you and I are tempted, though he did not sin. That's what Hebrews talks about. And so, if you're in Christ, if you're new in Christ, sin is no longer your master. You are not required to sin anymore. And you're not like a sinner trying to be holy. That's not what this is. You are now a son of God. You are now a daughter of God who's walking in the newness of life with new desires and a new heart and the Spirit of God living within you. And you are not required to bow down to the temptations of the flesh and what it required of you before. You're just not, right? And you and I know, we know what our key temptations are. You just do. And they're different for everybody, right? For some of you, your key temptation is greed, but that's not for others. For others, it's lust, but not for some. For some, it's gossip, it's bitterness, right? Whatever it is, you know what your key temptation is. And what Jesus is saying is right now, before you face it, you can start relying on God. You can ask him to prepare you, to change your heart, to give you new desires, all of that. I love this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says this, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. The temptation you face, it's not unique to you. Every human being faces temptation. You are not alone. That's a lie that Satan loves to tell you. And God is faithful. There's the character of God living there. He will not, this is so critical. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Every temptation you come across, you are not required to submit to it. And every temptation that comes and finds you, God has already provided a way out. The question is, will I turn to him? Will I rely on him? Will I lean in on him during that moment? And so when you're in your daily quiet time or you're praying throughout the day, whatever it is, confess your sin, right? Be specific. It's not just, well, just forgive me for all the bad things. Okay, that sounds really heartfelt, right, and meaningful. Be specific. Man, God, I'm so sorry for the way, like, I was rude to Christina today. I was dismissive with my children. I was so focused on me, right? I'm just walking through that. And then you claim the promise of forgiveness and cleansing from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I know that you've already forgiven me in Christ. Right? I'm not asking for something you're not willing to give to me or you haven't already. And so thank you that you're changing me. And then ask God to help you see the way out next time. The next time I have an opportunity to be rude to my wife. There's a way out, right? There's a way out. The next time I want to be dismissive toward my children, there's a way out. God's provided it, right? Whatever that temptation is. And so you can talk with God about your failures. Now, Two more things very, very quickly. These aren't in your notes, but I just want to put this in front of you when it comes to prayer. First one, don't be afraid of silence. Don't be afraid of silence in prayer. When the great prophet Elijah was talking with God, it didn't come in an earthquake. It didn't come in a storm. You know how God spoke to him? A whisper. It was a whisper. Don't be afraid of silence when you're praying. In fact, it's in those moments where God tends to speak to us some of the deepest. When you don't know what to pray, because you probably had those moments or you will, when you don't know what to pray, two things. Pray scripture. Just pray scripture. That's what I'll do. I'm doing like a read and a reread and a reread of Ephesians. And so the other day, I wasn't entirely sure how to pray with some things that were going on. So I just used Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, and I used that to guide my prayer. And I thank God that I'm not lacking anything, but I have every spiritual blessing in heaven already. And I'm chosen, and I'm adopted, right? And he's given me the Holy Spirit, and I'm loved, and I'm just praying all of those things because that's what Ephesians teaches me. So when you don't know what to pray, just pray the scripture you were reading in your daily quiet time. Also, when you don't know what to pray and you're not even sure how to pray through the scriptures, let me tell you this. The Bible says the Spirit will pray for you. The Spirit will actually pray for you. Check this out. Romans 8. At the same time, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness because we don't know how to pray for what we need. Have you ever been there? I've been there. But the Spirit intercedes along with our groans that cannot be expressed in words. The one who searches our hearts knows what the Spirit has in mind. The Spirit intercedes for God's people the way God wants him to. When you don't know what to pray or how to pray, ask the Spirit to pray in your place and trust that he is. Right? And trust him. Listen, prayer is about deepening your relationship with God, learning how to rely on him for everything. This is not about negotiations. This is not about manipulating him. This is not putting him in your debt. But here's what I want to tell you. Whether you're new to praying or you've been praying for a long time, here's what I want to encourage you. Keep praying. Don't stop praying. Keep practicing, keep learning, keep asking Jesus to teach you how to pray in this moment. I want to read this last verse out loud together. Are you ready? Go. Never stop praying. Man, what a powerful verse. Never stop. Keep praying. And if you keep praying, And if you just focus in on your relationship with God and let him work in you, you will find that he's going to keep drawing you closer and closer to himself. You will sense him changing your life from the inside out. You will experience him meeting your needs in remarkable ways, sometimes through the Spirit, sometimes through miracles, sometimes through friends, right? Sometimes simply through reading the scriptures. You will walk in the newness of life and experience freedom from sin. Talk with God every single day. This isn't about limiting it to the daily quiet time, whenever that is. In fact, that daily quiet time is just the launching pad that all day long, right? I'm like talking with God and he's talking with me and I'm sharing my needs and I'm sharing my failures and I just want to be with the Father. Why? Because the Father wants to be with you and he's done everything necessary for you to be with him and for him to be with you. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes and to ask the question that we ask each week, which is simply this: Jesus, what are you saying to me right now? And I want to give you a chance to listen to him. Father, you love us. That is undeniable. Will you teach us how to love you? Will you teach us the joy of simply being with you in your presence? Will you help us to see more of your character, that you are holy and you are in charge? And that means we don't have to worry about anything, and we know that you're remaking us into the image of Jesus Christ. And every single one of us in this room and joining online, we all have needs. We all have situations. We're not sure what we're going to do. And you have promised that if we'll just dial into you, if we'll seek you first, if we'll walk in righteousness with you through Jesus Christ, right? If we'll let his life and his work and his death and his resurrection be applied to us, Scripture says you'll just take care of us. And that doesn't mean you're going to do everything the way that we want you to. But it does mean you're going to take care of us. And we can count on that. And I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I actually don't even have to worry about today. And so would you teach us how to turn anxiety into prayer, knowing that you, our Father, has it handled. And God, when we fail, when we choose sin, when we give in to temptation, I pray that wouldn't be a moment where we feel like we need to hide anything from you, but rather we would go, I need to go talk to my dad. He knows what to do. He has the words of comfort. He has the guidance. He'll lead me on how to navigate that next time. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that because of him, we have every spiritual blessing. And we have you to talk with about absolutely everything. Will you teach us how to pray?
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.